Praise the Lord. All right, let's go right on into the preaching today. Let's go to Psalm 1. You know what? I want you to go. Don't go there with me. I want you to go over to Luke 1:26. Okay. I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures. You go to Luke 1:26. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. That's Psalm 127:1. Here's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give an expected end. So I know the plans that I have for you. God has plans for you. Amen. He has plans for you. Okay. So, and it says that he has thoughts of shalom or wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Okay. Hope in the final outcome. And, we see in that first scripture that God has to do it. Except a man, he can build a house, but he does it in vain if he's not following the plan that God has. You know, I've just found myself early this morning just talking to the Lord, saying, Lord, you know, I just apologize and repent for everybody that I know that just went on their own trail. That they didn't bother to seek you, to find out what you're doing, to follow your path. We even choose to do that in every service. And I'm sure I've missed it time and time again, but that is our desire, that we would follow God in everything that we do. And I think it's so important because I don't want to do anything in vain. I want to do what he's called me to do. And so, you know, in the Christmas season, it's a good time to think about destiny because we see Mary's destiny. We see Jesus' destiny. We see these things coming forth. And we see how Jesus was born for certain things. And we even see there in the book of Matthew constantly using these words. These are the words. This was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets saying. So, everything that was done had been prophesied. Imagine that. Praise the Lord. So, Jesus had a destiny. And listen, within that destiny was purpose, callings, dreams, visions, and goals. All within that destiny. And then we see that Mary had a destiny. And you're there seeing her destiny. We're about to read it. Her destiny was to bring forth the Messiah. Something we all know, we all understand. And when we read her story, we see a pattern that we might follow for each of us to have our dreams come true. So yes, I'm going to do it again. This is probably, we probably have two traditions in Victory Church. And one tradition is that every Christmas, I teach you how to birth your dream. And everybody always smiles because everybody loves this word. And praise the Lord, we're going to do it again. So how to give birth to your God-given dream. Not your dream, but your God-given dream. Amen. So look at Luke 1:26. I got to get that 24 out of there. 26. Okay. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. To a virgin espoused to a man, his name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Mary Thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, and this is the famous line, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. How to birth your dreams. You can do it just like Mary did. We see right there in verse 24, she says, how can this be? I'm not married. And the scripture says the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come and he will come up, down on you, and God's power will come on you, and your child will be called the Holy Son of God. The number one thing to do if you're going to birth God's dream is be baptized in the Holy Spirit and follow his leading. Follow his leading. Constantly yield to him. And so it said that the Holy Spirit will overshadow you and this holy thing will be conceived. Now, the word there for overshadow there, to hover or to envelop, is the word episkiaso. And that word actually means to hover over. I think if you use your imagination there, you get the picture really good. Now, when God said light be, it said that the Holy Spirit hovered over the deep, didn't it? Yeah. Same word, but in the Hebrew, it's the word rakaf. Rakaf. So Holy Spirit's there, ready to do the work. Okay? Ready to do something. Can I tell you that he's ready to bring your dreams to pass? That he's giving you. You're calling to pass. He wants this to come to pass for you. And so Holy Spirit is ready. And what we see when God hovered over the deep, he said, light be. Amen. That's what happened. Yeah. Light came. Amen. The angel brought her a word of God, and Mary said to him, be it done unto me according to your word. So right then, when she said those words, she conceived. The word is the seed. What did Jesus say about the word? The sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. We see that in three books of the Gospels. How the sower sows the word. So the sower sowed the word. Who sowed it? And who was the sower? The angel and Mary. And Holy Spirit did the work. So, but she sowed the word in her heart. She said, I take this. You know, you could just take that offering word that we just said. Lord, you take pleasure in my prosperity. I'm gonna be anointed. I'm gonna be joyful. I'm gonna be prosperous financially. I'm gonna be healthy. You could take that and say, be it done unto me according to thy word. And you would be fulfilling a dream that God has about you. Amen. Church, listen. Holy Spirit is one third of the Godhead. And he is working in us and for us. He is our guide. He's our teacher, our comforter, and so much more. And we need to be aware of his presence all the time. We need to be aware that he is in us and that he comes on us. So the word became alive in Mary. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how faith works. That is how. Number two. We see the scripture said your relative Elizabeth is also going to have a son, even though she is old. No one thought she could ever have a baby, but in 3 months she will have a baby. For nothing is impossible with God. Number two, hang around somebody who's bigger than you. Or let me say it this way, hang around the bigger dreamers than yourself. Hang around someone who's already done it. You know, they say there's no shortcut in life. But there is one shortcut in life, and that's mentors. If you have a mentor and you know you're taking their kind of path and you follow their path, I'm telling you, you can go through things quickly. How many of you ever worked on a job and you had a mentor and they told you what to do and how it worked and you were able just to push right on through and get there and start having success quickly? I believe one of the best things that ever happened to me in my life, right almost at the very top, was having Pastor John. He was my mentor. He taught me what to do. He taught me what to say. He taught me how to treat certain situations, how to deal with people, how to respect, how to honor. He taught me how to be a Timothy. He taught me all kinds of things. He taught me a lot of things about the Word. And, of course, also Brother Copeland has done that with me. But what I just love is you can get a mentor in any lane you're in. And they will absolutely guide you into something a lot quicker than if you tried to do it yourself. Amen. So hang around. You know, Elizabeth was pregnant way before Mary was. So she could tell her, girl, this is what's going to happen now. I hope you're not going to be like me. I couldn't stand the smell of whatever they ate then. Praise the Lord. The lamb cooking. I don't know. Whatever she was saying, girl, now. You know, but she had good advice for her. She had good advice. Amen. Praise the Lord. The next verse, Luke 1:56, Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months, and then she went back home. The third thing is, don't share your dreams with everyone. No need to cast your pearls before swine, as the scripture says. Hide them in your heart until it's time. Hold fast to your dream. Don't let the dream thieves in. Well, you say, Pastor, who would be the dream thieves? Well, the dream thieves sometime could be your relatives. They don't want you to get hurt. They don't want you to have too much hope. When the Bible teaches us, we should have hope. Amen. Amen. And so, praise the Lord. We do want to have hope. And we want to watch who we share our dreams with. And then what about this? What about comfort zones? Comfort zones will actually steal your dream. Well, you know, this, I just don't know. It's just too hard. I just don't know. I just wonder how many people miss the big picture for their life because they clung to some little tiny part that made them feel secure. They weren't willing to take any kind of a chance. I don't have that problem. I don't know why, but I just don't. I'm just one of these people that I'll just go ahead and just, you know, let's do it.
Right.
Let's just do it. But you might. Now, I'm not saying I haven't had it in some areas, but I'm sure I have. But, it'd just be too hard. Well, I don't want to give up this. Oh, I don't want to do that. I mean, I lived in this town for 40 years. Why would I want to move out to redneck country? You know, you know what I'm saying? Okay. And, you know, why would you want to go start a church, a woman preacher in a Baptist town? And but I want to tell you one thing about this town. Whether you're Baptist or Methodist or whatever, we all love each other.
Yeah, we do.
They meet together. They'll call us and ask us to pray about things. And I love that about this town. You're in a good town, let me tell you. But anyway, watch who you tell your dreams to. If you're like me, I'm like that kind of person that when I get something from the Lord, I want to tell somebody. But you know, sometimes you may not want to. Sometimes you may need to just let that thing, you know, bake a little, just work a little before you get it out there because, honey. I had a friend, from sixth grade who showed up in my life after I'd, gone into the ministry and her husband was with their sweet, sweet people and she says, you know, I might have been called to the ministry and her husband said, oh honey, if you'd have been called, it would have been real easy. I was standing there thinking, oh Lord, no, it's not true. But he didn't mean to discourage her, but he was concerned that she might get her hopes up on something that wasn't right. So your family will kind of do that. Your comfort zones will do that. So what you have to do is you just have to hear from God and possibly your leader, your mentor. They'll help recognize the gifts in you. Amen. So don't share your dreams with everyone. Number four, she gave birth to her firstborn. She dressed him in baby clothes and laid him on the bed of hay because there was no room in the inn. We really like that. Okay, so have the baby when it's time. When it is time to launch the dream, Launch the dream. Go for the dream. We all know that early delivery is not good. Late delivery is not good. We need to have the baby when it's time to have the baby. We need to step out when you get that nudge. When you get, okay, now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time to do this. So when you get that nudge, you step out on it. You receive that? Praise the Lord. These are real easy things. And then I'm going to read to you Matthew 2, verse 1 and 11. When Jesus was born in the village of Bethlehem in Judea, Herod was king. During this time, some wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. When the men went into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they knelt down and worshiped him. They took out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and gave them to him. So this is what I want to say to you, church. The day you say yes to that dream, provision will rise up and begin to come toward you, just like the wise men came to finance Jesus. God, when you say yes to God, He will bring in the provision. He will bring in the anointing. He will bring in the people. He will set you up with the divine appointments. Amen. He will do it when you say yes to Him. You know, we were talking Wednesday about Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. It's not that God hated Esau. Was trying to say is he esteemed him more lightly because Esau esteemed him more lightly. Yeah. And so what we need to understand here is esteem what God gives you to do. Esteem it heavily. Don't, oh yeah, he may want me to do that. I'll try to decide whether I'm going to do it or not. No. Jesus is Lord. He's not just Savior. He's not just Savior. So things that we lightly esteem, He's not necessarily going to push us forward in our stewardship in it. And so we want to be committed to do what God has called us to do. And I'm happy to say that I serve with a group of people who really do want to do God's will. And I'm so grateful for that. So just know whatever you've said yes to, whatever you said yes to, provision's coming. Yes. Provision's coming. When we started building our house, which is a duplex, basically, the provision came. Amen. It came. When it was time to buy a new car, provision came. We're just people who just buy cars for cash because we don't want to go in debt. And so provision came. Yeah. So provision will come for you, church. Yeah. Not just financial either. I'm talking about spiritual. If you're going to do something for God, you need two things at least. Number one, you need some anointing on your life. Yeah. People need to believe you. You need to walk in the power and authority of God. And number two, you need to have some finances so you can get the job done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So, in the days of preparation, the seed is in the ground. You can't see it. I think about the people who want to be in the ministry, you know, and they're like, someone will just recognize me and I'll be in the ministry and I'll get a TV show and everything, you know, you know, and y'all know what I mean. And so if the pastor will just recognize me and let me have that, and I've even had that in this church years ago. Someone came and said, I had a dream that I took your place. I'm like, where did you eat dinner last night? Anyway. Yeah. So, but what happens is the seed is doing things where you're not seen. You're not popular. You're not anything. But oh, one day that plant's going to come up out of the ground. It'll come out of the ground. Now just take that in any part of your life. Your dream will come up out of the ground. It will, and it will be seen, and God will get the glory. Amen. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God has a dream for you. He's going to do everything he can to help you bring that dream to pass. Follow the Holy Spirit. Get a word. Hang out with big dreamers. Protect your dream. Carry it out when it's time. And know that you have provision. You all receive that today? Praise the Lord.